Turn to Ezekiel 47, chapter 47, as we continue along the subject of exalting Jesus into his rightful place, giving him praise, giving him all the glory that is due unto his name. I think we finished off where we were talking about on last week. I believe we probably mentioned Matthew chapter 7 and verse 20, where it talks about by their fruits shall ye know them. What do we know by their fruits? Yeah, that's true. You know, you can look at once you've tasted a fruit, you know what it's like, don't you? Bitter, sweet. And you know, the Word of God wants the world to be able to see you by the fruit that comes from your life. And even as a new Christian, you will have fruit coming off your life, and people will see something different about you. And so for the new believers, you know, Eric at school, people look at him and think, wow, there's something different. And they'll see that there's a different fruit, a different lifestyle that's coming out of him. So praise God for that. And for all you others that have made decisions, that's great. So now we move on to Ezekiel, where he talks about the temple. And begins to declare what he is seeing. In verse 1 of that same chapter. Then he brought me back to the door of the house. The house being the temple of the Lord. And behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house towards the east. For the house faced east. And the water was flowing from under, from the right side of the house, from south of the altar. Now, in that first verse, it says there, from under the threshold of the house towards the east, for the house faced east. What does that mean? It's quite important, this. You look into the house, is facing the rising of the sun. Amen. We used to sing a chorus, from the rising of the sun to the going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. You remember that one? I can see your brain ticking there. No, we'll get... But do you remember it? Do you know that one, from the rising of the sun? From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. And so it goes on. And so facing east is the beginning of the new day. Facing east is where the sun rises in the sky, doesn't it? But at the same time, in religious terms, in the terms of the supernatural and the mystery of God's word, Jesus will come on that new day. Amen. And he will come from the east, it says. And you know, in Jerusalem there is the city wall and there is an eastern gate. And that eastern gate has been bricked up by the Arabs. And in front of that eastern gate also, they have built or put an Arab cemetery. Because no Jew will go through an Arab cemetery. And so they think, in their simple understanding, by bricking up a gate and putting a cemetery in front, they are going to stop the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and my Lord Jesus, the Son of God, from coming through that gateway. Somebody's not awfully sharp. Well, there is a belief that when his foot touches Mount Olives, when his foot touches the Mount of Olives, it will split and cause a division in the ground, and it will make a clear way between, and the cemetery will just part. Nothing will stand in the way of God. Amen. Is what we've got to get into our mind. Nothing will stand in the way of God. And God is into a new day.
Amen.
For every one of us. That's why his temple faces to the east. Because every time the natural sun rises, it is a new day. And so for you and for me, in the realm of spiritual things, it's a new day. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your own personal Saviour, it was a new day. It was a brand new start. And guess what? Every time you get up, it's a new day. And so, this house is facing east. And it's welcoming the new day. It's welcoming the rising of the sun. It's welcoming God into their lives and that. And so, but we find, he says, and then yet, he says, from underneath the doorway, from underneath the threshold, there's a flow of water. Interesting. Let's move on. Now, water, let's remind ourselves one or two things. What is water a symbol of? Holy Spirit. So, water is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Right? So from underneath the altar, or from underneath the doorway, what doorway are we talking about? Of what house is it? It's the house of God. Yeah? So from underneath the house of God is a flowing of water, which also represents the Holy Spirit. Water is also representative of cleansing. Isn't it? You know, we wash ourselves, don't we? It's a way of cleansing, but also it is also a symbolic way that we cleanse ourselves. The high priest and the priests that went into the temple were to cleanse themselves every time they went in before the Lord, didn't they? They had to go through that cleansing ceremony, and water was always involved in that cleansing ceremony. And when Jesus came into his ministry, he met John at the river, did he not? That's right. And what river was it? Any idea? Oh, the sharp tonight, the River Jordan. Well, you know, there are other small sort of, yeah. So, the River Jordan. But it's the main one that goes down that middle there. So many people just focus on that one river. So this is the River Jordan. And what happened at the River Jordan? Jesus was being baptized. Right? What happened next? That when he came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit descended upon him. Right? And so it's that cleansing process. Not that Jesus had sinned. But again, it's this symbolic thing. The mystery of the power of the cleansing process. And the moment that when you are baptized, because we're planning a baptismal service in the future, praise God, and we're going to do full immersion and bring you up a new person, confirmed a new person in Jesus, and believing that the Holy Spirit will fill you to full and overflowing. Praise the Lord. You know, this is a process that is going on in our lives. And it's exciting what God is doing. And so then he says in verse 2, and he brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around on the outer side of the outer gate by the way of the gate which faces east. And behold, water was trickling from the south side. You know, have you noticed? It's just trickling. It's not a river. It's just trickling. Springs trickle, don't they? Springs just trickle along, don't they? What is it in the word? It talks about springs of living water. springs of living water shall flow. There's another version that says rivers of living water. But there's a springing within you. You know, when you're baptized very often in the Holy Spirit, a lot of people just, it's just a trickle. But as we spend more time in God and we spend more time in the presence of God, that trickle becomes a river, becomes a flow. And the things of God begin to flow through us. We begin to move slowly at first, but things, God will move us on. God wants us into the form of a river so that things are flowing through our lives in a tremendous way. And so, it starts off as a trickle. And it says, and then the man went out to the east with a line in his hand. He measured 1,000 cubits and he led me through the water. And the water reached the ankles. So that's the first 1,000. And it's just in the, up to the ankles. You just kick around in that, can't you, Eric? You know, splash around. He says, and then again, verse 4. Again he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, reaching the knees. So that's 2,000. And again he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, reaching to my loins. That's 3,000. It's getting a bit deeper now. And again he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not ford, for the water had risen, enough water to swim in, and the river that could not be forded. So it's now a big wide river that is a torrent. In one version it translates it as a torrential river that is rushing forward. Now, this has all just started from the throne room of God. Salvation, Christianity, all started with one person, Jesus. It's going around the world. Daniel says, he prophesies in Daniel about the golden statue, and he prophesies there, and he said this stone came out of the sky, hit the feet of that statue, smashed the feet, and when the feet were smashed, everything else came down and was destroyed. One stone, and the giants came down. Amen. David, one stone, and Goliath came down. It was standing, he was standing against the people of God. He was standing against God, was Goliath. The statue in Daniel are the empires that have stood against God so often, that have put the children of God into captivity, that have sought to destroy the kingdom of God. One stone is hurled and it smashes the statue, destroys it absolutely. And then the word tells us in Daniel that that stone begins to fill the whole earth. That stone is Jesus. That stone is Jesus. And when Jesus strikes at those empires, when he came and died on a cross and he rose again on the third day, that stone, Jesus, brought down the empires and started to fill the whole earth. Started off with just a few, 120 in an upper room. From 120 it went to 3,000 were saved in a few days' time, plus women and children and grandparents. It was just a massive number of people all got saved just on one day. And we say, you know, he's the Lord of the harvest. When's he going to do? There is something exciting coming. If he can save through one person sharing about Jesus on one day, over 3,000 plus people came to the Lord, what's going to happen in the future? There's more than one person in this room that's saved and knows Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Yeah? Every one of you is a soul winner. Every one of you is a part of Jesus. Every one of you has Jesus living inside. That Spirit of Jesus that is living within you to declare the works of the Lord. To declare the kingdom of God. Jesus said to his disciples, the kingdom of heaven is within you. It's just there. It's right next to you. It's within you. You've got it. We have to realize that, you know, we can move in the things of Jesus. We can move in the same anointing that Jesus did. You just have to believe it. You're no different to the disciples. They were a motley crew. They'd argue. But you know, when Jesus comes in on the scene, he starts that process of changing. And so, here we are. We've got 4,000 measurements. He's gone out, 4,000. And it's suddenly become a river. We can't get across it. It's so wide, it's such a rushing torrent. The number 4 is important. Why? Well, number 4 is the number of creation. When all creation of the natural things is finished. Okay? Have you anything to add to that? That's right, it's the world. That's right. When all things in the world were created, finished. Three's a Trinity. It's God and man. It's finished. It's fantastic. And so, here we have that. This angel, this being goes out and he walks out 4 distances. 1,000. 1,000 as is a day and a day is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is as a day and a day is 1,000 years. These numbers are symbolic, are important in the things of God. And so, as the 4th day was the end when God had finished creating, all the things that needed to be in the world were there. All the natural things around us were already there. It's a finished work at that stage. And suddenly we're in this situation where this angel measures out 4 1,000s. What is it telling us? It's telling us that this is God's completed work. This is now a rushing torrent and it's going to just move on in its own power and energy. First it starts with a trickle. Starts with something small. But if you persist with this, it will grow into something great. In your own life, if you will persist and allow the word of God to move in your own life, it will grow into something powerful. This word is a healing word. This word is a delivering word. This word is a word that heals the nations. This word is a word that saves the simplest soul. And this word reveals Jesus to us in such a powerful way. And we have to realize more and more that we have to press into this word. This word has to be shaped in us. And so it says there in verse 6, and then he said to me, Son of man, you have seen this. Then he brought me back to the banks. Now when I had returned, behold, on the bank of the river, there were many trees on the one side and on the other. And he said to me, these waters go out to the east region and down. And so it goes, and it, if we read it on and we get down to verse, let's see where we want to be. Just move on. No, stay in verse 8. And part way through, then they go towards the sea. What sea is he talking about? He's talking about the Dead Sea. Nothing lives in the Dead Sea. Nothing lives at all in the Dead Sea. It's a strange liquid. And if you get a cut and you go in the Dead Sea, it will fester because of the sulfur that is in the water. Because at the end of the Dead Sea, that is the end where God dealt with Sodom and Gomorrah. And when you go around and you're around the Dead Sea area, it smells of sulfur. There's an obnoxious smell. Sulfur. But and yet, it talks about that this river is going to go all the way down there. And it is going to cleanse and bring life. Nothing grows around that area, just in that area, because the salt and the sulfur kills everything. Kills life. But you know, when God brings His fresh river, when He brings the river of life, when He brings that river of life, things begin to grow anew. The ground will be cleansed and washed clean. Is that not something similar to what, you know, when we talk about baptism, when we talk about our lives, when God's river begins to flow in our lives, when the river of the Holy Spirit flows in us, when the Word of God begins to flow through us, what is it doing? It's cleansing our life. And you know, as you and I, simple thing, if you stay in the Word of God, if you read the Word of God every day on a regular basis, it will cleanse your heart and your mind. It will keep you from sin. If you don't read it for a week or two or three or four, guess what? What happens? You start to slip back. And you start to fall into sin of some sort. Is that true? Anybody not read the Bible for a little while and then suddenly find that they've slipped back into something that they weren't supposed to be doing? And it all boils down to one thing. Lack of spending time in the river of God. Lack of spending time in God's Word. God's Word cleanses. God's Word strengthens us. But whilst we read it, we need to be listening what God is saying. We need to get an understanding of what God is saying to us. And that's why we do Bible studies together like this. Because, you know, even just mentioning the number 4, people look at you and go, what's he talking about? What does he mean? See, one is the number of God. Two is the number of witness. Three is the Trinity. Oh, we can go on and expand this. And it just goes on, and you can start rolling with numbers. You see, was it the Da Vinci Code? One of these code things that came out a few years ago said that the Bible was written mathematically. Most Christians went, don't be stupid, can't be. It's written by a number of different men, isn't it? The Old Testament is written by a lot of different people, different prophets. The New Testament's written by quite a few different people along the way. So how can it be all written mathematically? Because God is the author and the finisher of our faith and of this word that we read. And so God ordains this word. So I don't know how it's done. I'm not that clever. Don't profess to be. But when you start to look at what God is saying, there are things in there that there is a power in numbers that God believes in. The Bible called. That's right, yeah. Oh, it was all done in numbers, etc. The names of these people, you're right, it was the Bible called, John, thank you. I never read it. Whether I should have done or not, I don't know, but I prefer.
One of the things that Hebrew poets do anyway, say that's a Hebrew point. If you want to make a really outstanding point of it, put the middle sentence.
Another. Right. See, you learn something new if you listen.
That makes sense, doesn't it?
Nearly. You're going to have to explain to me a bit more, but not now. Mm-hmm. You can come back to that one. We'll hold that thought and we'll come back to it. So, and it's not about the book of Numbers. It's about the whole Bible is about numbers. Okay? Just in case you were getting me mistaken. And so it's important that you and I catch what God is trying to say to us. For instance, the number 6 is the number of man. Number of man. Yes, man. M-A-N. Number 5 is the number of grace. Not my wife. But the number of God's grace. And you see, the number 6 is the number of man. Can you remember? If you go into Revelation, it talks about the mark of the beast. 666. That's man's way of trying to beat God. The beast. It's all demonic. It's all against God. It's anti-God. 6 is anti-God as well. I heard just recently somebody say that a minister had said he'd been praying and God had given him a number that the congregation had to each of them had to give this amount of money. And he said that the number was 6. So he said, God's telling me you've got to give £60 in the offering. Well, the number 6 is the end of man. So if we've come to the end of ourselves, let's give God space to do a miracle.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. Let God be God. Mm-hmm. Number 7 is perfection, divine perfection. Divine perfection, the number 7, that's what it stands for. Anyway, we'll stop on the numbers now, otherwise we'll go on to a totally different subject. And 3 is also spiritual perfection. So we'll move on from there into back to this scripture. And so, that salt water down there around the Dead Sea, you see, the Dead Sea has no outlet. That's an interesting one. If you keep receiving the Word of God and it doesn't come out, you'll end up with a Dead Sea. There has to be an outlet. There has to be an outlet where you can share the Word of God. You see, when you share the Word of God, it actually causes the Word to grow in you. Have you noticed that? If somebody keeps giving it you and giving it you, it doesn't grow out of you. You just become stodgy and flabby and stuffed with the Word, and you can't get it out. So there has to be. So when you start to share the Word, you suddenly your mind begins to think, and the Holy Spirit begins to quicken what you've read and what you've heard, and you start to share, and your knowledge actually begins to expand. Have you noticed that? But it's only when you share the word. It's about, as you speak the word out, it gives life.
Yeah.
And when you speak the word out, it gives life to others around, but it also gives life. That word is quickened. The word is there to quicken your mortal body. And so when you speak it out, you are quickening your mortal body. You're quickening the lives of others as well. So you have to realize so much that the word of life is in you. The river of life is in you. This river that is flowing out from this temple in Ezekiel is a river of life. I used to sing another chorus. There's a river of life flowing out from me, made the lame to walk and the blind to see, open prison doors, set the captives free. There's a river of life flowing out from me, spring up, oh well, within my soul, spring up, oh well, and make me whole, spring up, oh well, and give to me salvation abundantly. These were simple songs that, well, I was brought up with. Those simple songs remind us of the Word of God. And by me just sharing those, that just simple chorus made your face smile, your face is lit up. I don't know whether why they're lit up for whatever reason. Was it because that this is just showing you how the Word of God, what it is doing in your life. It's simple reminders with an easy rhythm to sing. A lot of the songs that we sing today, they're all about something else. Pity me, woe be me, Lord, come and bless me, O Lord. He's already said He's going to bless you.
Amen.
That is a promise. He said it 366 times at least in the Word of God that there's a blessing for every day. So you don't have to say, oh God, bless me. If you are walking in His presence day by day, guess what? His blessing is commanded to come upon you.
Amen.
The moment that you rise in the morning, the word says, bless the Lord, O my soul. And everything that is within me, bless His holy name. And you're blessed. Because you are blessed to be a blessing. So you don't have to pray, God bless me. No, you have to declare blessing back to God, because you are already the blessed. The only way you can bless God is when you're blessed. I'm blessed, Bill. Believe it or not, I'm blessed. And every morning I can declare before God, blessed be the name of the Lord, God Almighty, who is and is to come. I can bless His name because I am blessed by Him to be a blessing. And God wants us, even though He wants us to just bless Him back. Because we are reminding ourselves as we do that, I'm blessed to be a blessing. I'm not the one who's on the downer. I'm not the one who's going to be defeated. I serve a risen Saviour. He's in the world today. He's in this world. Is in me. Is in this earth. Me. Is in this earthen vessel. And so we can rejoice in those things that He has for us. And so this river goes down to the river, to the Dead Sea, and it will flow out the other side. It has to do to bring life. This river is going to be so powerful, it's going to open an outlet.
Amen.
And in the same way, when you and I get filled with the Holy Spirit, we get the Word of God in us, mm-hmm. It has got to have an outlet.
Mm-hmm.
And then life springs out of it. When God created the earth, it says, and God said, He spoke it out. Let the earth bring forth. And He spoke it out. And in the same way, you and I, as we speak out the word of God, we bring in life. We're bringing life to others, we're keeping life in ourselves. Because we're not being stagnated. We're letting the word of God flow through us. We're sharing the blessings. We're sharing the things of God into other people's lives. And so it's important. That's what we've got to do. You might just have a couple of sentences for somebody. And you just bless them to an abundance that they've never realized before. Just a few words can change a person's lives. Yeah, it don't have to be a massive preacher. Just a few words can change a person's life. This river started with just a little stream. And it became a mighty river. Just a few words can change a person's life and direction in life. And they can become a mighty warrior for Jesus. And it's a few words, yeah. Billy Graham. He was a man who just brought a few words. Simple gospel. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people were saved under his time of ministering the word of God. Powerful, powerful man. But he gives all the glory to Jesus. Verse 9 says, of Ezekiel chapter 47, "And it will come about that every living creature which swarms in every place where the river goes will live." So wherever this river is going, this river will bring life. It's not bringing death. Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life, and that more abundantly." John's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 10. Praise God. Life more abundantly. "And there will be very many fish, for these waters go there, and the others become fresh." So everything will live where the river goes. Praise God. Do you know where the word of God is, there's life. Where the word of God is, there's life. This nation was built on the word of God. It was built on the word of God. And there are nations that have been built on the word of God and they're turning away from the word of God. They're going to become a stinking mess. Sad. I heard just, had an email just the other day, and it was saying that President Barack Obama had cancelled the USA National Day of Prayer for the churches that goes on in the White House. But he is allowing and is verbally backing a Muslim day of prayer outside the White House. Watch. Watch. A nation will fall when it leaves its God. Nations fall when they leave the Creator, when they deny Christ. And so just be aware at this time. You know, you'll see things happening under this president that's out there. But guess what? Jesus is still on the throne. And these guys seem to miss that point. They seem to think they're in charge. They seem to think they're the bosses. They're running the show. G whatever. Is it G20 now? There's that many of them? Yeah. And they all think they're running the show. They're not. short time and a season. And God will and can change it all. Praise His wonderful name. And we the church, we the people of God, have nothing to fear as we follow hard after the things of God, as we let God work in our lives and just see the Spirit of God moving in us. Verse 10. And it will come about that fishermen will stand beside it from the Engedi to Elegemai, and there will be a place for the spreading of nets. Their fish will be according to their kind, like the fish of the great sea, very many. And so it goes on, and it just tells you that there's going to be an abundance in God. That's what there's going to be. There's going to be an abundance in God. So where the Spirit of God goes, there will be an abundance.
Amen.
The Spirit of God will carry the Word of God. Verse 12, let's just move on to verse 12. Verse 11 says, and its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Salt is good in the right proportions. Salt is good. Have you noticed on your food you put a little bit of salt in? Just brings out some extra flavours, doesn't it? Oh, gosh, you have to have a measure of salt. Everything that we have, that's, even the food we eat, everything has got some salt in it. And you know, we need a measure of salt. Salt is good. Excessive salt is not good. That's okay. And in the, like the word says, if the salt has lost its flavour, it's only good for one thing. Throwing away. No good having salt if it's got no flavour in it, is there? You throw it away. Now what does it mean? It means this, that not like, you and I today, we have these salt shakers, don't we? All these salt grinders. And that's where we get our salt a lot of the time. Well, it was different in the days of Scripture. They had a bag that contained salts. And these salts were not pure salts like what we have. And so they would have to dip it in this bag in the water, and it would take out the salt into the water for cooking. It wasn't like what you and I have when we sprinkle on, you know, you get your fish and chips and you have some salt and vinegar. Not anything like that. Or you get your salt shaker out and that's enough salt. Yeah. It was in a bag. And so there was a point when this salt had been placed in the water so many times and the salt had been extracted from the bag, that suddenly this salt had lost its flavour. It was no longer saltiness. And that's why the Word of God, when Jesus talks about the salt losing its flavour, its savour, that it's fit for nothing else to be thrown away and trampled underfoot. So it's different salt to what you and I know today. And so the understanding is that you and I have to be fresh. You and I have to be like fresh salt that gives a flavour. That when you share Jesus, you're just like, you're drawing those extra flavours out of the Bible. And you're introducing these people to the kingdom of God. And they're going, that's interesting, you know. It's like when you do your dishes and you add the spices and different things you put into your food. Just to give it that little bit of extra flavour. My niece does a chili. Well, she does this chili. There is no flavour in it as far as I'm concerned. It burns out every trace of flavour. Because when it hits the back of my throat shuts down. And it's like, it's not enjoyable to me. So if my niece makes it, I say, well, time out, you know. Bring me a yogurt. I'll cool it down or something, but no. And yet she thinks it's wonderful. just passes over the top of my head. Just leaves me, I was going to say it leaves me cold, but it don't leave me cold, it leaves me in a hot sweat. It's like, no, no more. So, moving on. That's just the explanation for the salt. And verse 12, by the river, on its banks, on one side and on the other will grow all kinds of trees for fruit, and their leaves will not wither, and their fruit shall not fail. They will bear fruit every month, because their water flows from the sanctuary, and their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing. So this is fresh fruit every month all through the year, and an abundance. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. There is a river that flows from the throne of God. There is a river that flows from the throne of God. And as that river flows, that river brings healing, that river brings abundance, it brings life with it wherever it goes. As that chorus song we sang, or I sang, it brings life wherever it goes. Whatever that water, the Spirit of God, whatever the Holy Spirit touches, it's there to bring life. The Spirit of God comes to bring life. And that's what we need to be realizing more and more, that the Spirit of God, this river, is coming to bring life. And that these trees that are growing by the side of the river, it says their leaves are for the healing of the nations. For the healing of the nations. God is not against nations. God is for every nation. God is bringing healing through Jesus Christ. Through the flow of His Spirit, He's bringing healing into our lives for the power of God to set each and every one of us free. And this is, and this can only come, this river will flow when we start exalting Jesus. When we start to worship Him, the river of the Spirit of God will flow. It's flowing out of you. It's flowing out of me. It's flowing, should be flowing out of each and every one of us. There's a river of life flowing out from you. From you. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. There's a river of life flowing out from you. And that's the river of the Holy Spirit. If you will let that river flow, it will change people from addictions to alcohol, to drugs. It will set people free. And then the thing is, we've got to keep them in the flow of the river. Stay in the river. And see the power of God changing lives. Stay in that anointing. Staying in the presence of God. And begin to worship Him. Begin to magnify His name. Not for what He's given you, but for who He is. Not for what He's going to give you, but for who He is. He's your Creator. He's the one who sets the captives free. And you know, when you start to do that, you will start to see, I honestly believe, you start to see into the realm of the Spirit. God will give you revelations of Himself. God will show you something of His beauty. Stephen, when he was being stoned, he's preaching the gospel. There's a mad crowd around him and they're throwing rocks at him. And suddenly looks up when he sees heaven open and he sees Jesus standing to receive him and standing in honour of Stephen. And he's just, and he says, I see. He sees into heaven. I'm not saying you've got to get to the place where you're going to be stoned to death to see into heaven. You know, there are easier ways of doing that. But you know, God is wanting his people. And when I say his people, I don't mean the pastors and the leadership. I mean everybody. Each and every one of you tonight. God is wanting you to see something of God in the realm of the supernatural that's good and wholesome. You know, we could get together and we could say, let's just pray and we'll just spend some time. Let's ask God to reveal something to us. If we will do that with all sincerity, with an open heart and with an open spirit unto God, he'll reveal things to us. Because God wants to reveal himself. God wants to reveal things about our lives to bless us and to encourage us. I've done it. I've been in groups where we've done it in the past. Yeah. And the Spirit of God just begins to move. Maybe that's something we need to do. Get into some small groups and begin to just wait on God. Yeah. Just say, let's listen to God. Yeah. What does God want to say? Because so often in, you know, If you're not careful, church services can be rushing on. And we don't pause to listen to what God wants to say. And that verse of scripture, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's trying to get into church sometimes like that. Musicians are going on. And the preacher gets up and goes on. And we've got to do the announcements and whatever else it is. And God's like, I'm knocking, trying to get in. But he's not invited. I don't want us to get to that point. I want us to be a place where we're hearing and we're listening to God. And if God suddenly says there's nobody preaching tonight, but we're going to just worship. I've been in church services years ago when on a Sunday morning we went to church and the Spirit of God began to move through the congregation. You were there, I think. And began to move through the congregation, and in the end the pastor didn't get a chance to preach. But God did. See, now it's so motivated that if we're not careful we have to. They've got the video cameras up there. I'm not against them. They get the video cameras up there and they've got a time schedule because they've got a congregation somewhere out there on the satellites waiting to watch the next whatever. I don't know what you call it. But where's God? Oh, he's coming in on the next satellite. No, he's not. We need to make sure God is God in our, over our churches, over who we are, and over our lives. And we need to begin to exalt Jesus into that rightful place and allow the freshness of the Holy Spirit to flow through our lives and through the church. That no matter wherever we go, we bring life. The Spirit brings life, and we receive life and we give life. That's where God wants his church today. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, we're going to close it now. Thank you.